Good morning, church. I wanted to give you an update on Teresa's dad, my father-in-law, Ray Adcock. We saw him yesterday. He's just started his first chemo treatment this past week, and he kind of had a rough week, but we were able to go up yesterday. He said he felt a lot better yesterday. We went up and celebrated his birthday with him, so we were grateful to do that together with him. I appreciate he wanted me to tell you that he really appreciates all the prayers. He's very touched by the fact that we're praying for him. So, thank you. Today we're going to be talking about becoming a God chaser. Now, this phrase, God chaser, comes from a minister named Tommy Tenney, who put out a book several years ago with this title. I think it's a very catchy phrase, but you'll see where we're going with this today, and talking about how God can become the entire focus of our being, where we seek Him, we chase after Him with all of our hearts. A man came up to a child and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." "Well, I thought no one knew what God looked like." He said, "They will when I get through." And that's true. No one here knows what God looks like. We don't know what the Lord looks like. But as December rolls around, it is my prayer that we will have a greater understanding. God will become larger, magnified in your life. You will see Him in a whole new way as we end our year together. We're going to be starting on August 10th a series, if you want to call it, on discovering God. What is God like? And we're going to be talking about what that means, most importantly, for our lives, how it affects our lives, how we see things. And I love this passage from Jeremiah 29 because it's a promise that God has given to us. He says, "You will seek me and find me if you seek for me with all of your heart." God desires to be chased. He desires that we seek Him with all of our hearts. You know, the question always, you know, can we ever fully know God in this life? Well, absolutely not. I mean, we have limitations of our mind. We cannot get our minds wrapped around often who God is. And we need to get God out of our box if we do think we can completely wrap our minds. And I think also because of our sinful nature, we struggle with understanding God often. We don't see Him in the way that He wants us to see Him. Because as we're talking about today in our class, how you see God is the most important thing in your life because it affects everything. It affects how much you trust Him. It affects how much you will give your life to Him. So that's why we're talking about that. And the fact that God has simply not told us everything about Himself. We have the Bible, we have God's Word, but there's so much more to God. It cannot fully contain everything that He is in just one book. So the fact that He's revealed Himself through nature, through His Word, through His Son, those are all areas that we learn about God. We learn about what kind of who He is and what He's like. Can we intimately know Him better? The answer is yes. Yes. And that's our goal for this fall, that we will not only see God in a different way, but that we will seek Him, we will find Him, and have a greater understanding of His love for us and our love for Him. So let's talk about this today. Let's pray together as we begin. Have mercy on us, Lord. We're sinners. And I thank You today for the cross. May we never take lightly the Lord's Supper, or the celebration of the very thing that gives us life. I thank You for the little voices that we're hearing right now. That's the future of the church, Lord, but we want to pray for them. We want to pray for our future generation, that we will raise them in Your ways with conviction, with strong faith. But Lord, I pray too that we will become more childlike. We ask for a spirit of humility, total dependence upon You. And Lord, I feel very inadequate to talk about You. And I pray today that as we begin looking towards that You will teach us, that Your Holy Spirit will Help us see you magnified, see a bigger view of you, and help us correct the misunderstandings we have about you. And I pray today that we will become God chasers. We become people, Father, that are consumed with you, with desiring more of you and less of us in our lives. May you be glorified today, Father, as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Bill Bright, I love this comment, and you'll see it a lot in this fall, and I think he's right on target. We can trace most of our human problems and fears to a faulty view of God. We all have probably misunderstandings about God and about who He is. It affects how we treat each other, affects how in our own life, our faith. But I think the study of who God is probably the most important topic that we could talk about as a church body, as a church family. Obviously, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but and I can't say it enough, that we do have wrong images of God, and this is why we need to have a correct view of God. A lot of us see God as somebody who's overly demanding and strict. We, you know, our fathers may have been that way, so we see God that way. And the misunderstanding that the God of the Old Testament is a God of wrath and the God of the New Testament is a God of love is completely wrong. God doesn't change. And we need to understand that the Lord is not overly demanding and strict as many portray Him to be. God also is the wrong view of God is to see that He's uncaring. He's impersonal. He doesn't care about your life. A lot of people see that. Oh, He's got a big universe to run. Why would He care about me? And we think God is uncaring. But the fact of the matter, as 1 Peter 5:7 says, He cast all your anxiety, all of it, God says. I care about you. I care about your life. I care about what's going on in your life. I care about you. So the fact that people think God, He's uncaring and impersonal, a very wrong image of God, very wrong image. Another wrong image people have is that He's distant, that He's way out there and He's not personally involved in my life every day. It's interesting, Paul says in Acts 17 that He is not far from every one of us. He's not. He's very near us. And finally, another wrong image of God is that the fact that He's tolerant of everyone. Well, it doesn't really matter what you believe. You can just believe whatever you want. All religions lead to God. And there couldn't be anything farther from the truth. Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I think the greatest sin, and we talk about our faulty views of God, and I think where I'm going with this is that the struggle we have and the sin that we commit is we make a God of our own image, a God that'll fit our agenda. We put God in a box so that we can control Him. You know, we're uncomfortable with this God who has all power and is all knowing, and we don't know what to do with it. We want a God who doesn't like the same people we do. Well, you're going to agree with me, right? Yeah. And a lot of people make a God of their own image in that light, and they also think a God that tolerates my sinful lifestyle, that agrees with my inner lawyer. You know who your inner lawyer is, right? It's your part of your conscience that says, oh, what you really did wasn't really wrong. And we justify ourselves. Don't we do that? When we're doing something we know is clearly wrong, our inner lawyer starts to fight and say, oh, it was okay. It wasn't that big a deal. That's creating a God in our own image. So, Lord, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says in His Word about who He is. I think we need to let God reveal Himself as He is in His Word. And I love these words from Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness, sounds like Micah 6:8, doesn't it? On earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. God says, if you want to boast, if you want to brag, brag that you know me. Because when you brag about me, that you know me, that's an eternal thing. That has eternal ramifications. What we brag about, it's so interesting what we brag about as human beings. We brag about our education. You know, we may brag about promotions. Oh, I helped somebody this past week. We brag about what we make. We brag about when we win. But bragging about knowing God, he's saying, is eternal, has eternal benefits. It's part of what it means to have eternal life. Look what Jesus says in John 17 here. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. It's not talking about heaven here. He's talking about knowing God. That is eternal life. And I remember when I was in Morogoro, Tanzania, in language school, I remember this is a 95% Muslim town, and I remember going downtown many days to try to practice my Swahili. Now, that was a total disaster in and of itself. But I would often get in conversations with Muslims. And it was interesting, this conversation we had one day with this guy who was clearly a very influential person in his community, a much older man than me. And I remember that he brought this verse 3 out. He said, look at this verse. And he pointed this, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ. He was using that verse to say, see, Jesus is not God. I said, that's not what he's saying in that text. He's saying that you're going to come to know me. Your eternal life is about knowing God. And he just kind of shrugged me off. But I found it interesting that here is the very text that will set him free, but he was trying to use it as an argument to say that Jesus is not God in the flesh. And that's not the point of what he's saying there. Eternal life. This is the abundant life. Jesus says that I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. A life that is full of purpose. A life that is full of meaning. He's not talking about a pie in the sky. He's talking about the here and the now. Life. A life of meaning. Don't you want to have a life of purpose? He said, that's what I've come for. But it's eternal life. It has eternal ramifications. So when I seek to know God, it gives me an abundant life. It gives me a life worth living, a life full of purpose and meaning. Because to know God is to live life to the fullest. Everyone in here wants that. But you cannot discover what that is apart from God. You know, have you ever sat down with a puzzle and you have 2,000 pieces? Everybody try to do like a 2,000 piece puzzle? Doesn't it kind of, you pour the whole thing out on the table and you're going, man, where do I begin? You know, and life is kind of like that. And when we seek to try to understand life is like a puzzle. And the Lord is telling us you come to me, I am the puzzle maker. I am the one that can make sense of your life. We try to understand it on our own, we're going to make a mess of it. We're not going to understand it. Because life apart from God is meaningless, it's empty. So our life pursuit, this should be our life pursuit. To become a God chaser. That I'm going to be seeking to know Him with all of my... I think we've become a little complacent in our faith. I think we've come to the point where we say, well, you know, I think I got enough Christianity. I think I've grown enough. I've read the Bible. I think I got it down. You don't. You don't. I don't. None of us in this room we will never reach a point where we got it all figured out. Because God, the deeper you go in Scripture, the deeper it gets. And the more you know God, and the more He opens up to you, man, there's more to this than I realized. There is so much more. It's not just about coming here on Sunday. It's not just about Wednesday nights. There is so much more to this. Experiencing God in your life is the greatest, most awesome adventure that we can have as human beings. And I love that picture. That guy's worship, he's hungry. He wants God. Is that the story of your life today? How much do you want Him? Are you willing to seek Him with all of your heart? Or are you willing to just take the scraps from the table? Or do you want it? The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man He made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He marked out their appointed times and history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that what? We would what? Come on, say it. Seek Him. And perhaps reach out for Him. That's a foreign concept to most people. All throughout the world. Africa, Brazil, all over the world. I can actually get to know God. Yeah, you can get to know God. You mean I can have a... Yeah, you can have a relationship with God. Though He is not far from any one of us. God created us so that we would... What, church? I can't hear you. What did you say?
Seek Him.
To seek Him. And the word seek there is not saying, hey, let me just check you out. It is digging as if you're digging for treasure. Guys, you know what it was like when you chased your wife before you got married? What was it like? You were consumed with her. You chased after her. We say the chase is better than the catch. Not with God. The catch is better with God. We all joke about the chase is better than the catch. But the point is, we sought after them. We were wanted to be with them. We wanted to learn everything about them. And God says, that is with me. I want you to do the same. Seek after me. But seek for me as if you're digging for treasure. It's just not a passive little Bible study. I want you to dig. I want you to dig with all of your heart. It's about knowing a person. It's not about going through the rituals. It's not about going through, coming in and checking in and cha-ching. Okay, I've done my thing for the week. It's not being religious. It's about knowing a person. God Himself. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand. Any who seek God. It's a passage in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that says, The Lord's eyes roam throughout the earth to fully strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So God's looking. He's checking you out. Are they seeking me? Are they hungry? Do they want to know me? And we've got the Bible. We've got the very thing that could tell us about God. How important is this to you? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. And He rewards those who earnestly, there's that word again, digging for gold. Earnestly seek Him. What's the reward? What's the reward I'm going to get for seeking after God? God. A greater understanding of God. A greater understanding of yourself. A greater peace. A greater joy. Yes. And people say, well, that's not very exciting. We don't get it. Connecting with your Creator of the universe, there is no greater joy or greater task in life than to do that. God's not boring, we are. Because God is the one that created laughter. God created all things perfect. He wants us to know Him. Well, I hear what you're saying, Chris. You know, I think it's great. Yeah, I want to seek after God in my life, but I got lots of problems right now, okay? You know, my marriage is having problems, and you know, I just lost my job recently, and I can't find another job, and my family are having all these kind of relationship problems, and I got issues with my health, you know, and I hear what you're saying about seeking God. I get what you're saying. What's going to be your security when your life falls apart? I mean, really, where are you going to go? What are you going to do when it all falls down? Because every one of us, it can happen to any of us in this room. We could lose it all. We could get that call in the middle of the night. We could get that little thing from the doctor saying, yeah, it's not good. Knowing who God is at that point is the most critical thing in your life. Because that will determine how you respond. How you respond to your crisis. Because if you don't know God, you got nothing. You got what the world has. Hopelessness. David's life was a lot like ours. I love David. I can't wait to meet him. I'm going to hug that guy's neck. I like him because I can relate to his life. I have the triumphs. I have the Goliath moments in my life. You do too. You know, I have the failures. I have where I fall flat on my face. I have crazy people that are causing me problems, like King Saul chasing him for 10 years through the desert. I have people that are doing stuff in my life. I don't understand what's going on. I have a dysfunctional family. I don't understand what's going on, Lord. I like him because he's real. He's transparent. And in the Psalms, he often shares how he's feeling. Listen to these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. This is army imagery. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord. This only do I seek. What do you seek, David? What's the one thing that is the most important thing to you, David? That you beat your enemies? That you have peace in your home? That maybe your marriages get together or something? What is the one thing that you see? What would happen if the Lord asked you? What's the one thing that you seek in your life? What is the most important thing that you want? No question, God will come to you and say, what's the one thing you want? It's granted if you ask for it. You have a Solomon moment. What are you going to seek? Yeah, my family be saved. A better job, better home. That's not what David sought. What did he seek? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. To seek him in his temple. David wants God. It's the one thing that consumed his life. And if you and I want to be men and women after God's own heart. How many people want to hear be men and women after God? Come on. Let him be your passion. It's the one thing that I seek. What are you seeking in your life? What's the one thing in your life? What is it God? And David teaches me that he's saying, stop focusing on your problems. I got armies around me. I got people trying to kill me. And David says, no, the issue is focusing on the Lord. He never stopped having problems. But he said, I am going to focus my life not on my circumstances, but on the Lord. And that's what made him a man after God's own heart. He sought it. He wanted it. It consumed his life. Listen to as he continues, for in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, set me high upon a rock. Listen to this faith. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And that's a verse for somebody here today. I have no idea who it's for, but it's for you. Because there are a lot of people in this room, you've been raised in rejection. Your family has rejected you. They have walked away from you. They have hurt you deeply. And what you need to cry out today is, everybody can walk out of my life, but God is the one who will receive me. God is all we have. You don't have anybody else. Quit trusting in man. I talked with a person this week who made a very bad decision in their life. And I told them, you know, when it boils down to it, all you have is God. Because when you leave this life, you leave with God. All you have is your faith. I had a dear friend of mine many years ago. He was an orphan, raised an orphan. And I don't recommend doing this, okay? Remember I told you a couple weeks, don't open the Bible and point to it? That's not a good way to get guidance. Well, this guy, this is all he had at the point. He had a .45 caliber pistol on the table and a Bible. He was going to end his life. And he cried out to God and said, God, you got one more chance. I need you to speak to me today. He opens up, he points to this verse. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And he broke down. And he realized, God is all we have. So what does it mean to seek the Lord? It means to seek his presence. Wait a minute, aren't we always in his presence? Well, yeah. But, you know, you could have a married couple and they can be living together but not really loving each other and not be together. They're present, but they're really not. God doesn't move away from us. We move away from him. So what should we do in those moments? Draw near to him. Draw near. There's a promise. Draw near and he will draw near to you. You take one step, God will take two. So how do we seek the Lord as we close up today? It begins with a conscious choice. I mean, you have to want it. I mean, we spend time with those we love, right? If I say I love God, I'm going to obviously want to spend time with God. It's about priorities. And I struggle, just like everybody in this room does, with getting distracted in my life. Secondly, I think, how do we seek the Lord? I think it's not being satisfied with where we are. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves, am I complacent? Have I reached a point where I just, you know, don't care anymore in my walk with God? Why am I a Christian? Why am I in this? Am I in this to just get the blessings? Is Christianity nothing more than a get out of hell free card? I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I'll just follow Christ. Are you in it just for the blessings? And that's basically Satan's argument with God about Job. Well, he's only in it because you're blessing him. You take away the blessings, he'll curse you. And Job proved him wrong. Are we in love with God or his stuff? I know you've seen this as a parent where a child will request something for their birthday or for Christmas. And have you ever had a child come to you and they want a particular thing and then they say, you know, what I really want is a baseball mitt so that you and I can throw ball together. And what they're really saying is, I want to spend time with you. They're not interested in the gift. They're interested in the giver. And God says, are you interested in me? Or are you interested in my stuff? Why are you in this? I want to be like Moses. Show me your glory. I want more of you, God. Don't you want to be like Moses? Where you're not satisfied with where you are. You want more of God. So much more of him. How do we seek the Lord? I think a great way I could suggest to you is through conversational relationship. What do I mean by that? I mean talking to God throughout your day. Now your coworkers may think you're a little nuts, but you can speak in your heart to the Lord. Invite God into the day. You know, your car can become the greatest prayer closet you can possibly imagine. Turn off the radio. Turn off the news. The news is all negative anyway. Who cares about the news? Let's talk to God. Let's use it as a time of a conversational relationship with him as we seek him. Obviously, there's a lifestyle of obedience. That's what it means to seek the Lord in the Old Testament, by the way. But there's obviously a lifestyle motivated by love. And finally, I think we seek the Lord in a spirit of humility and repentance. Do you want to see revival come to this country? I'm asking a question. Do you want to see revival come to this country? Yes. Come on, do you want to see revival come? Yes. Here it is. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God, we need revival in this country. But it begins with me. Doesn't begin with everybody else. It begins with you and I. So let's not be content with where we are spiritually. Ever. Ever. But be a God chaser. Pursue him with all of our hearts. Let's pray. Father, forgive us of our complacency. Forgive us, Lord, for using you, being more interested in your stuff than in you, the giver. Give everyone in this room a hunger and a thirst to know you, to love you, to seek you with all of their hearts. We hunger for more of you, Lord. More of you, less of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if we can assist you, I have one more text for you to share, and then we'll close. This is one of the most sobering passages I think you can read. 2 Thessalonians 1, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with an everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Those are very sobering words. There's two things we can't control. Jesus Christ is coming. We don't know when. We're going to die. We don't know when. I think we need to take eternity in our lives seriously. Because what if you died today? Are you ready to meet God? What if Jesus were to come right now? What does God want us to do in His Word to receive forgiveness and eternal life? And to begin a relationship where we seek Him? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You say, yeah, my heart, I've sinned against God, and I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus to save me from my sins, and I'm ready to turn away from sin, which is not pleasing to the Lord, and repent and make a 180 and turn and go God's way in my life. And baptism is where we begin that relationship with God, where we are cleansed and forgiven of our sins. God will take you as you are. If there's anybody here today that would like to do that, come talk to us afterwards. Maybe today you just need prayers. Anybody would like to come forward, our shepherds will be glad to pray for you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Glory, Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that He is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but His love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
I know all about God, but I do believe this one thing. He does not talk rhetorically. He means it. He means it. He doesn't say things just to hear Himself speak. And if you're getting ready for the finals, aren't we all getting ready for the finals? Yeah. That day is going to get our attention. It's going to give trauma a whole new meaning. If you want to prepare, God says you need love. He says, you need forgiveness. He says, if you want my love, you give love. If you want my forgiveness, you give forgiveness. And we take Him rhetorically that way, and He's not talking rhetorically. Go out, find somebody to love. Find somebody that you know that you're holding something to give, and forgive. It's time to do these things. Father God, we come before You asking You, Father, for the audacious ability to do what You ask us to do, to seek You, to find You, to love each other, and seek Your forgiveness as we forgive those that we forgive. Bless us, Father, to work in Your kingdom. Thank You for the day. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.